The Big Story is brought to you by Scotiabank. Today marks the first major American election since, you know, that one.
This was both a seismic and an improbable victory for Donald
Trump.
This
means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
I love this country.
So how different will this vote be from the one in November 2016? Will the polls be wrong again? And if they are, when we look back at the results and what drove them, what will we say about Facebook? It's not a secret that the big blue giant played a massive role in Trump's victory. We have data, we have anecdotal evidence, and of course we have a scandal to prove it.
On this front, news on Cambridge Analytica, the company that allegedly harvested private information from millions of Facebook profiles. It is now shutting down.
So what has Facebook done to protect voters during elections since then? What steps has the company taken? What answers has Mark Zuckerberg provided? He's been asked for them by almost every major democracy. Does it sound like the world is comfortable with the role Facebook currently plays in elections? And what will that role be tonight when all the votes are counted? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Jesse Hirsch is a futurist, a researcher, and a public speaker who has been studying the internet for more than 25 years. He knows as much about Facebook as anyone. So, Jesse, first of all, what are Canada and the United Kingdom asking of Facebook?
Essentially, they want to talk to Zuckerberg. They want the founder and CEO of the company to appear before them and answer their questions. And where he's done that with the U.S. Congress and he's done that with European parliamentarians, he has not done that with either the British or Canadian Parliament. And this is an interesting collaboration where essentially both governments are coming together and saying, let's hold a joint hearing in the hopes that that's enough incentive to get Mark Zuckerberg to show up. But they're also indicating that they're taking this seriously, not only looking at the sort of Cambridge Analytica and the data scandal that was associated with it, but looking at future elections and looking at the extent to which Facebook and social media can undermine the electoral process or undermine people's perception of the integrity of democracy and electoral campaigns. And it's really clear that they want to talk to the boss, that they want to talk to Zuckerberg himself. They don't want to talk to his deputies, in that, you know, more junior members of Facebook's management team have appeared at Canadian Parliament and have appeared in front of British Parliament. But they want to talk to number one in hoping that they can get some clear answers to their questions.
It's been a while now since the 2016 election, obviously, and it's been a while even since we learned about the Cambridge Analytica scandal. And I want to know, like, what are countries like Canada, the United Kingdom, even the United States actually doing to make sure that their elections are secure where Facebook is concerned now?
Well, quite frankly, on the one hand, they're still figuring it out. I think, like anything, governments move slowly. They're still in the discovery phase. I think they're still wrapping their heads around how vulnerable the electoral process is and to what extent Facebook can even identify malicious activity and attempts to either misinform or manipulate voters. Now, a lot of the focus has been on transparency. And if there's any progress to be shown, either by governments or by the companies, it's been arguing that the more transparency, the better. That if, you know, independent researchers are in a position to look at what's happening, and if political advertising in particular can be subject to greater transparency, well, one hopes that would mitigate attempts to hack or manipulate the election. But I think it's also still part of figuring out the problem and trying to quantify exactly how much activity is out there, what is legitimate, what is not legitimate. And I think that's where this is still an ongoing conversation. You know, Facebook is really trying to evade any strong rules or any strong oversight. But governments at the same time are really trying to figure out how should elections be conducted in the social media era, and, you know, acknowledging that there is a right for freedom of expression and freedom of speech so that in an election, people can say what they want to say about the candidates. But it's the advertising, I think, that complicates things, especially given the black box nature of sites like Facebook, where it is difficult to achieve transparency. It is difficult to get a sense of who's talking to who and who's paying to talk to who. And I think that's where we're kind of still in that discovery phase of figuring out exactly what's happening. And I think governments are feeling pressure, not just because more elections are happening, but also because, you know, it almost makes them look incompetent if they can't figure out this social media stuff. And I think that's where they're feeling pressure to show that they're taking action.
What I want to know is how they balance the fact, because governments do move so slowly, and how they balance that with a platform like Facebook or any social media platform, really, where, like, as we've seen, you know, you make one change to the algorithm or one change to the user functions and things on the network look totally different tomorrow. So how does a government even prepare to run its elections in an era where you can plan for social media looking one way and then the next day it's different?
I think the paradox is that it involves partnership with these companies, that governments can't do this on their own. They need Facebook's help. They need Facebook's cooperation. And I think that's exactly why they're so desperate to talk to Mark Zuckerberg, to get the boss in front of them, because they need him as much as he needs their approval and he needs them to be on side.
What kind of leverage do they have over Zuckerberg to make him show up or make him help them figure out what's going on?
Tragically, very little. I mean, what they're really trying to do here is the court of public opinion. Is they're trying to make this as much of a spectacle as possible, create public pressure so that whether it's shareholders or whether it's users, that the company and Mark Zuckerberg in particular feels, you know, morally inclined to have to appear before this joint committee. But governments don't have that much leverage. I mean, they could regulate, they could threaten heavy fines, they could create very strict regulations on what is permissible during an election or during a particular period. But those are pretty empty threats. I mean, for the most part, because of this notion of speed, that any rules they make, you know, may not apply tomorrow, may not apply to the Facebook a year from now. So it really is a kind of dance between the regulators and the company to sort of make sure that everyone's on side, but there's no real power on either side in terms of trying to force one set of rules or another. But I think it really, and this is what I find comical, if not scary, is I don't even think Facebook really knows what's going on. I mean, I think they're going through their own discovery process of trying to understand where they're vulnerable. And what puts them at risk is their own perception of incompetence. I mean, it's one thing to say that the government is incompetent at dealing with social media. We all kind of laugh that off. But what if Facebook is incompetent at governing itself? Like, they're great at making money, they're great at getting people to share stuff, but they're not so good at being responsible. And I think that's what they're worried about and why they're hesitant to be under the kind of scrutiny that this type of parliamentary committee can put them under.
Up next.
You know, yesterday it's Russian secret services. Tomorrow it's some kid in Sault Ste. Marie who just decides he wants to mess with the election. This isn't rocket science. It's just the new politics.
You can save like never before with the Scotiabank Momentum Plus Savings Account. And now, for a limited time, you can earn up to 3.2% interest until March 10th. You can find all the terms and conditions at scotiabank.com/MP. Is there anything, though, that could actually pressure Facebook, the appearance of incompetence or users or anything like that, that could put enough pressure on them that would make them seek out governments for help regulating themselves, or at least where elections are concerned? Because I don't see it.
Well, I think the issue comes back to manipulation, that if we continue to learn the extent to which either foreign governments or just individuals who are trolls who just want to mess with the process, if we continue to find more evidence of that happening and that continuing to happen, and Facebook perhaps realizing that not only do they not know what to do about it, but maybe they don't want to go there. Like, maybe, you know, Facebook doesn't want to be the political police of the world. You know, there are regulators who do that. And that's where Facebook might quite maturely say, we want to partner with Elections Canada. We want to partner with various electoral authorities around the world to make sure that we preserve fair elections, to make sure that we do not enable this type of manipulation and sabotage, you know, that would be to their benefit. It would help their bottom line. And it would be an acknowledgement that it's not really their skill set. It's not where their proficiency lies. And I think we are going to find that kind of manipulation, partly because it's so easy, but also because it's kind of open source. Like, you know, yesterday it's Russian secret services. Tomorrow it's some kid in Sault Ste. Marie who just decides he wants to mess with the election.
Right.
I mean, this isn't rocket science. It's just the new politics. It's the new type of campaigning. And I think that's the danger of neglect, that if we don't look at how the process can be preserved and how we can maintain the integrity, then it's not just foreign actors. It's anybody who can then start manipulating the process. And I think that hurts everyone. And I think that is something that both governments and Facebook would share in common, which is a desire to prevent that level of political trolling.
So it's been almost 2 years since the 2016 American election. There have been a lot of elections around the world, some in Canada since then. Do we know if there's anything different about what's happening on Facebook around these elections than there was in 2016? Is there anything material we can point to and say, well, at least that's not happening anymore?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, it is different in the sense that social media is always changing, as to your earlier point. But now that journalists and researchers are kind of, you know, primed to the idea that this is happening, they are finding all the same nonsense. You know, they're finding bots that are, say, amplifying division around the migrant caravan that's currently making its way through Mexico. You know, they're finding instances in which people can take ads out on Facebook and manipulate who bought the ad. So there's a great story about how Vice was buying ads pretending to be a politician. So pretending to buy an ad that says this ad was paid for by Senator Mitch McConnell or whatever. And so they're still finding the holes in Facebook. They're still finding the ways in which people control and game and manipulate.
So if your transparency is false, then what's the point in having transparency?
Well, that's just it. And it suggests that while attempts are being made to fix the problems, they're not actually working as yet. And that's where Facebook will maybe say, well, hey, wait a minute, we need more time to figure this out. But elections are happening. And that doesn't prevent either the manipulation from occurring or just the perception that manipulation could occur. Because if people stop having faith in the electoral process, if they stop voting and they have cynicism towards, you know, democracy in general, that's where voter turnout continues to fall. And that's where you just have people out of cynicism just walking away from it. And I think that's the larger danger. It's not just the manipulation, but the sabotage, and that people just say, hey, why should I vote? Clearly, it's a broken or scanned process to begin with. And I think that's a terrible consequence.
Yeah, I mean, even as somebody who kind of swims in this stuff every day, I mean, me and you do, I spend half my day on social media looking for great stories to talk about. There is a sense now that it's just harder to trust anything, which means that even the stuff that you should be paying attention to, like the latest Trump scandal or policy announcements, is there a way to educate people off of social media about what's going on social media so that they come into it more aware?
I think that's happening slowly, and I think it's happening at dinner tables. I think it's happening in boardrooms. I think it's happening in the types of social settings where humans get together. And I think that it is a response, and I think that it is a way in which that critical thinking or that media literacy is being strengthened and fostered. But that's only half the piece. I mean, half of it is developing the critical thinking. The other half is actually having credible information and having sources you can trust. And I think that is a boost to traditional media companies, you know, those who are still active and those who are still able to serve their audience and create credible content. But the problem is there's such a storm of uncredible content. There's such an endless supply of lies and misinformation that at some point you just get tired and turn it off. And, you know, where you and I are motivated, like, you know, we spend time to try to figure out what's going on, to try to learn those stories. There's lots of other people who are just going to say, forget about it. And you know, just tune into sports or just, you know, tune out politics and news altogether. And that is dangerous for a democratic society. You need the citizens to be informed, and you don't want to make it too onerous for them to be informed. And I think that's exactly why politicians are looking at Facebook, are looking at social media, and thinking about rules and thinking about regulations that ensure that this type of abuse and this type of negligence when it comes to Facebook's responsibility to fight misinformation and to fight lies. I think that's why it is such a crucial debate right now in terms of what's necessary and what needs to happen.
If you could get Zuckerberg in a room, never mind Canadian House of Commons or UK Parliament, if you could get him in a room, what would you say to him is the biggest priority in terms of making politics legitimate again on Facebook?
Well, I really think it comes down to expertise. And the question I would have is, who are you hiring to help get yourself out of this mess? Because if you think that technology is going to get you out of this mess, you're just going to make it worse. You know, what he needs to be doing, what Facebook needs to be doing, is hiring people with expertise in the truth, in misinformation, in governance. So these are journalists, these are, you know, public policy experts, these are, you know, a political campaign experts. It's the difficulty of a technology company when it wakes up and realizes that thanks to its own technology, it's no longer a technology company anymore. It's a media company. It's a society company. I mean, for me, the paradox is that the town square, the public commons, is now controlled by a company that has no expertise in maintaining the public commons. And that's the paradox. In that they've accrued all this power, all this profile, but they really don't know what to do with it. And I think that's where it's an opportunity for Facebook to mature and get its act together. But it's also a crisis point when it comes to democracy, because it's our town square. We're the ones who need that town square to debate, to prioritize our issues. And Facebook controls it, and they're not really willing to be responsible for that control. And I think that's why governments are, you know, trying to shake them and say, come on, Facebook, shape up, or we're going to help you shape up.
Do you think Zuckerberg's going to show up?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'd say it's 50-50 either way. I think he should. I think that he is going to face a lot of pressure, not just from these governments, but from the media, from shareholders. I mean, there's already a lot of shareholders campaigning for him to resign, saying that he was a great founder, he was a great inventor, but he's a terrible manager, and that they need someone who is much more responsible and capable to run the company. I think as that pressure picks up, he will have to take on more of a public profile, and he will have to appear in front of parliamentary committees like this. But at the same time, he isn't a politician. He is not the greatest communicator. And there's lots of mistakes that he could make by appearing in front of such a high profile and high stakes as this joint committee hearing. So quite frankly, it could go either way. And I think it'll come down to the midterm elections in the United States. If the midterm elections in the U.S. do not have the kind of sensationalism, if not ludicrous outcome that the 2016 elections did, then he might get away with, you know, keeping a low profile. But if it is crazy, if the outcomes are wild, and I kind of expect they will be, there will be more scrutiny as to what is happening to democracy, what is happening to elections, and what role is Facebook playing in all of that.
Jesse Hirsch, futurist, researcher, public speaker, internet expert. That was The Big Story, brought to you by Scotiabank. You can earn up to 3.2% interest until March 10th with the Scotiabank Momentum Plus Savings Account. Conditions apply. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca or frequencypodcastnetwork.com. Check out some of our other episodes. We've talked a lot about Facebook. You can also hit us up on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you like. Subscribe to us. Subscribe to our brother and sister shows wherever you get podcasts, on Google, on Apple, on Spotify. Come have a listen. Rate us, review us, tell us what you think. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We will talk tomorrow.